find this.
You're listening to Penguin Radio. No love lost, no love found. It's a little too late to say that you're sorry now. You kicked me when I was down, but what you say just don't hurt me. That's right, it don't hurt me. This is Keeping It Real, Talking to Phil with DJ Unspoken. Stay real, y'all. What up, what up, what up? DJ Unspoken, live on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I am blessed to be here today on this Friday, giving you some real feel. Topic for today, bullying. Bullying and cyberbullying and the new emoji. Body shaming, the effects of bullying. Awareness and action, and at the end, real words of the day. But for now, it's time for my real fix segment. For the first part of my real fix segment, I want to talk about cliques. Now, me being on a basketball team, there's going to be cliques. There's going to be people who hang out with certain people. And, you know, I get that. But, however, cliques can also damage a team. And saying that, I would say that I've been having some problems with some certain people. But I'm not going to get too deep into that. And with that, I've been friends with, you know, people for about a year on the team. And when they joined these cliques, they just turned into a whole different person. Somebody I never knew now because of that. I mean, cliques can be a good and bad thing, but I just feel as of right now, us being on a team and it's, you know, just the beginning of the season, that cliques are kind of harming us in a sense because people are, you know, he say, she say stuff going back and forth, and I don't want to deal with that. Another thing for my real feel segment, arrogance and ignorance. And I think they both go hand in hand in saying that because some people on my team, I feel like some are getting a big head and, you know, they're just trying to get out of their role or stop doing their job and try to do more of their job, which also creates problems. And being arrogant about it is just really no need for that at all during this season. Because this is my last year in my senior year and I'm trying to deal with a lot of drama and people thinking that they're better than people or getting big heads about certain things is unnecessary at this part. And ignorance, I know I talked about it a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about how people think I look like a guy, even though I have short hair. And I think I would know myself because I do have two boobs on my chest. But, I mean, that's for another topic another day. And also, I want to talk about music. The Adele's new album that came out and her song Hello has been, you know, really inspirational, also emotional. I mean, I think I cried for a couple of seconds when I heard it today on the radio. And the type of music I listen to, I think I'm more hip-hop and R&B, but also, like, during my downtime, I like to listen to relaxation music, like, you know, raindrops dropping, some streams flowing, things of that nature. But, I mean, that's just the kind of music I listen to. Another thing that real feel that I wanted to talk about is the Chicago Bulls have been winning so far. I think they lost about 2 games, but my man Derrick Rose has been playing excellent. Jimmy Butler has been contributing. Paul Gasol all have been big factors in our wins that we have, especially the one over Cleveland, which was absolutely amazing. Great game to watch. And with that, another winning team that people hate out here in California, the Patriots, because they think they're cheaters. But whatever. If you want to have a winning attitude, you need to watch winning teams. And the Patriots have been doing that well so far this season. I know it's coming to the end, but I know they're going to go to the Super Bowl. It's going to be the Patriots all over again. I think they're going to win again because, I mean, they're a winning team. As well as, I want to talk about another thing, 2 ways to anger an African-American. One is, I hate when people touch my hair and don't ask. And I know people may have never seen African-American hair before, but don't touch my hair. I extremely hate it. Just at least ask for it. Just don't go touch it. It really is a way to make me mad really quick. Another thing is, when I'm in the car and I'm listening to my music and you get in the car, don't touch the radio. Don't do that. That's not for you. Don't do that. If I'm listening to my jams and I'm vibing out and you come in there pushing buttons trying to change to what you like, first of all, that you were wrong for that in the first place, so just get out and try again. But don't do that. Don't touch the radio. And as always, my co-DJ Kareen has come in the studio and joined me. You have any thoughts about anything about my real feel segments, cliques, arrogance, music, Adele, the Chicago Bulls, Patriots, and the Two Ways Anger African American?
Well, I am ecstatic that Adele has come back into the music scene. I know she was out of it for a while, so it's nice to see her back, and it's nice to hear her music again. So welcome back, Adele. Angering an African American Two Ways. I definitely have to agree with you on that, just experience with you. Yeah, don't change the music on DJ Unspoken or touch your hair. Trust me, it's not good. Clicks will be clicks, unfortunately. I don't think that's ever gonna change. It should, but it's not going to. So yeah, and then go Chicago Bulls, go Patriots.
Yeah, because I had talked about, you know, the clicks on my team, and I know, you know, some of my teammates and things. Mm-hmm. And I said that it could be helpful. It also can be hurtful because, you know, he say, she say stuff. And I was cool with a lot of people on the team. Mm-hmm. And then they joined certain people that weren't always in my corner or favored me. So then they started getting, you know, on that side of the fence.
Well, that just shows their fakeness.
That's true.
So I mean, you're always going to be you. Forget about them.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. And then I talk about arrogance, how people get big heads and think they're better than people and try to when get out not. Their roles and, no, try to go beyond their job or what they're supposed to do. And, you know, that's what helps the team, even society, be successful. If you do what you're supposed to do, you know, it takes the team a lot further than you trying to do it individually, you know?
I have to say there's a very big very thin line, between confidence and cockiness, and I have always been told when I was playing sports to always be a silent leader, lead by action, not by voice. Mm-hmm. So
but yeah, you know, we're gonna head into our first break. You have listened to Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. when we come back, we'll be talking about bullying, the physical aspect, cyberbullying, and the new emoji that promotes anti-bullying. So stay tuned. We are back on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Before the break, I said we would be discussing bullying and cyberbullying and the new emoji. Let's get into it. Bullying is unwanted aggressive behavior among school-aged children that involves a real or perceived power imbalance. The behavior is repeated or has the potential to be repeated over time. Both kids who are bullied and who bully others may have serious lasting problems. Statistics have shown that over 3.2 million students are victims of bullying each year. Approximately 160,000 teens skip school every day because of bullying. 17% of American students report being bullied 2 to 3 times a month or more within a school semester. Take a stance in your community by hosting a bullying policy makeover event. Customize your school's anti-bullying policy. 1 in 4 teachers see nothing wrong with bullying and will only intervene 4% of the time, which I feel like that is ridiculous, because if you see a child being bullied, why wouldn't you want to intervene as an adult? I mean, your comments on that?
As an adult, you should be the first person to know between right, or you should be, you know, yeah, the first person to know between right and wrong. You should step in. I mean, come on now. That's not right. We all know that's not right. And I believe, like, as a teacher, as, you know, a person of that power, you know, I'm sure they're trained on that or are told something about that. So I find that ridiculous. 1 in 4, that's too little of a number.
4%. And it said my first statistic was 3.2 million students are victims of bullying each year. So only 4% of the time adults are intervening in this. And I mean, it happens mostly in schools. So teachers not wanting to step up and speak out about it, that's absolutely ridiculous. I don't agree with that at all. However, by the age of 14, less than 30% of boys and 40% of girls will talk to their peers about bullying. Over 76% of students believe that school responds poorly to bullying, with a high percentage of students believing that adult help is infrequent and ineffective. 71% of students report incidents of bullying as a problem at their school. 90% of the 4th through 8th graders reported being victims of bullying. 1 in 10 students drop out of school because of repeated bullying. As boys age, they are less and less likely to feel sympathy for victims of bullying. In fact, they are more likely to add to the problem than solve it. Physical bullying increases in elementary school, peaks in middle school, and declines in high school. Verbal abuse, on the other hand, remains constant. So, all in all, these statistics are, I guess, at least to say, shocking. However, the one that stood out to me most was the one where the teachers don't intervene at all, which I felt was really ridiculous. And how boys are a little bit more immature about bullying than girls are and will add to the problem instead of take away from the problem. Your thoughts?
I would have to say that boys are a little bit immature. I mean, as we all know, they don't mature as fast as girls. So there's that aspect to it. But like you said about the whole teacher thing, that irritates me, especially because I have a cousin who was bullied. So it really upsets me.
Well, you know, also maybe teachers who, you know, don't intervene may be bullied as well by students. But I mean, that's less likely to happen, but it still does happen, which I can understand. Mm-hmm. But if right here, these statistics just said that, you know, students are more likely to get bullied than, you know, adults are, even though adults do get bullied.
My thing is, you're an adult. Who cares, if someone's bullying you, stand up, take a stand. Like, come on now. What's going to happen to you? Let's be honest. Your feelings may get hurt. Okay. And stand up, like, speak out. If you're going through that, you should know how bad it feels. You shouldn't want that on someone else. Just stand up and speak out.
Especially a child.
Exactly.
Sure. So going into our next one, cyberbullying. Cyberbullying is bullying that takes place using electronic technology. Electronic technology includes devices and equipment such as cell phones, computers, and tablets, as well as communication tools including social media sites, text messages, chats, and websites. Examples of cyberbullying include mean text messages or emails, rumors sent by email or posted on social networking sites, an embarrassing picture, video, website, or fake profile. Cyberbullying can happen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and reach a kid even when he or she is alone. It can happen any time of the day or night. Cyberbullying messages and images can be posted anonymously and distributed quickly to a very wide audience. It can be difficult and sometimes impossible to trace the source. Deleting inappropriate or harassing messages, texts, and pictures is extremely difficult after they have been posted or sent. Do you know anybody that has had this happen to them? Cyberbullying?
I mean, there's always, you know, negative connotation with people commenting about other people online, whether it's a celebrity and whether it's, you know, just a random person or a friend of mine. I mean, people are always going to have negative opinions on you no matter what. Unfortunately, they tend to post it. I mean, if they have the balls to anyway. But it's, I have seen it, and it's really sad.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Nearly 43% of kids have been bullied online. 1 in 4 has had it happen more than once. 70% of students report seeing frequent bullying online. Filling up your friends' Facebook feeds with positive posts instead of negative ones can boost school-wide morale. Start a Facebook page for students to submit positive acts they see in school to promote a culture of positivity on and offline. I think that's a great way to start right there with, you know, to put an end to cyberbullying.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, starting with, you know, a positive page that for your school. That promotes, you know, anti-bullying and things of that nature. I mean, your thoughts on that?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I know social media has done a lot to, you know, try and get that prevention out there and, you know, kind of bring people forth and get them motivated to stop it. So if someone can do that on their own terms, like, that's awesome. More power to you.
Yeah. So over 80% of teens use a cell phone regularly. I know I'm on my phone all the time. I mean, I'm on it right now. Making it the most common medium for cyberbullying. 68% of teens agree that cyberbullying is a serious problem. 81% of young people think bullying online is easier to get away with than bullying in person. 90% of teens who have seen school media bullying say they would have ignored it. 84% have seen others tell cyberbullies to stop. So far, I mean, 90% of them would just, you know, like, be like, whatever, I don't even care because I can just turn off my computer, you know. 84% of them said they've seen others tell cyberbullies to stop bullying them online. I mean, your thoughts on just cyberbullying as a whole right now?
It's, I don't know, to me it's completely ridiculous. I feel like if you have something to say to somebody, whether it's good or bad, saying it through text messages or saying it online or whatever way you want to do it is just completely pathetic to me. So I mean, I'm not saying that you should go bully in person, but it's just, it's kind of ridiculous that that's what, you know, social media has come to, and that's what I guess our generation has come to.
Yeah. Only 1 in 10 victims will inform a parent or trusted adult of their abuse. Girls are about twice as likely as boys to be victims and perpetrators of cyberbullying. About 58% of kids admit someone has said mean or hurtful things to them online. More than 4 out of 10 say it has happened more than once. Bullying victims are 2 to 9 times more likely to consider committing suicide. About 75% of students admit they have visited a website bashing another student. So that's, like you said, this is what, not, I would say all social media, but so far social media has become a tool for bullying,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. I mean, just not even the physical, but also the cyber. I mean, both of them go hand in hand because it can first start online, then turn into a physical thing at school or, you know, in the workplace as for adults of that nature. But
mm-hmm.
I mean, it just depends. I mean, how you take it. I mean, you can educate yourself on this and be better prepared and find ways to stop it and prevent bullying all in all. I mean, your closing thoughts on that?
Unfortunately, I don't think people will ever stop being so ignorant when it comes to bullying and not and realize, you know, what effects it has on others. But like you said, I think that people need to start, you know, making a prevention page or doing something. Start with their school, start small, and you never know how big it may get. So,
yeah. So I know the third subtopic here is about the new emoji. So Apple, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat are all in with the new anti-bullying emoji. There are new emojis in town, dozen of them. In fact, but unlike most of it, it's colored little brother in. One of the new images has a pretty serious connotation behind it. The Ad Council, a nonprofit that runs public service campaigns, is promoting a new emoji specifically intended to combat online bullying. The idea is that people who witness bullying online can share their emojis to signal that bullying should stop or that they support the victim. I'm getting tongue-tied. I thought we were doing pretty good today. Basically, when you don't know what to say in defense of the bullied, the emoji and eyeball inside of a speech bubble can do the talking for you. I have a 32-year-old daughter, and she speaks in emojis, explained Ad Council CEO Lisa Sherman. This generation of kids, that's their language. And thinking about the best way to connect with them, working in that world seems to make the most sense. The campaign called I Am a Witness is launching for National Bully Prevention Month, which was in October. New emojis often get people excited, but this launch is interesting in that you're likely to see a lot of it online. That's because many of the biggest tech companies out there are partnering with the Ad Council to get the word out. Facebook, Twitter, Google, Apple, Adobe, Snapchat, Whisper, and what is it? Kick, whatever. All these companies are partners to some degree, which basically means that they are offering up resources for free to help promote the campaign. On Facebook, that means you'll see ads for it in your newsfeed. The same goes for your Twitter timeline. Snapchat will offer U.S. users a specific I Am Witness photo filter. Who knows if people will actually use the emoji or if it will curb bullying in the slightest. But people seem to love emojis, and there's no denying that cyberbullying is still a major issue. So it certainly can't hurt to try. The emoji is available as a part of iOS update pushed out 2 weeks ago, or you just can download the free app for iOS or Android that includes access to the emoji. Personally, I think this is a great campaign, and I feel like you don't be afraid to speak up and speak out. Your thoughts on the emoji here?
I think it's great. I mean, it's a start. You never know. People may not know what it is and may be just pushing that emoji just because they think it looks cool. But if you have it up on your site or if you have it up wherever and other people see it, they know what it is. Then, you know, that just gets them thinking about the whole bullying cause and everything like that. So I think it's a start.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. So it's break time. This is Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I am DJ Unspoken, and as always, my co-DJ Karina.
Hey.
Next topic up is body shaming. We will be back soon.
You know the bed feels warmer, sleeping here alone. You know I dream in color and do the things I want. You think you got the best of me, think you've had the last laugh, bet you think that everything good is gone. Think you left me broken down, think that I'll come running back. Baby, you don't know me, cause you're dead wrong. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller, doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes a fighter. What steps even lighter, doesn't mean I'm over, cause you're gone. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, stronger. Just me, myself, and I. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller, doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. You heard that. Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. Stand a little taller, doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes a fighter. Footsteps even lighter, doesn't mean I'm over, cause you're gone. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, stronger. Just me, myself, and I. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Hey, Penguin Radio, DJ Unspoken back on radio.dominican.edu. The next topic at hand is body shaming. So body shaming is defined as inappropriate negative statements and attitude towards another person's weight or size. It can also reach into the discrimination against individuals who may be overweight. In particular, there are negative attitudes in the media and elsewhere about celebrities who are quote-unquote too fat or who have not gotten rid of the baby weight in an appropriate amount of time. A backlash against body shaming has resulted in the coining of the term itself and attempts to bring a more positive attitude towards diverse body sizes and styles. So, body shaming. Go, Karina.
body shaming, it sucks. It's definitely something that it's, I think, the biggest part of bullying nowadays. I mean, when you go on social media, I mean, what are you doing? You're posting pictures, of you and your friends. And during the summer, you're in your bathing suit. And, you know, people are now posting pictures of themselves half naked or fully naked. And it's, you're always going to have your haters, and you're always going to have people who think you should look one way. And I mean, I think that has to do a lot with society and their unrealistic views or expectations of not only women, but men as well.
Yeah. Agree. Body shaming manifests in many ways. One being criticize your own appearance through a judgment or comparison to another person. I'm so ugly compared to her, quote unquote. Look at how broad my shoulders are. I mean, I tell DJ Karina that, you know, she's built like a Troy linebacker. I mean, not like her shoulders are very broader. They're more broader than mine, but I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, it's just her she body type. Them. Yeah, I think she's beautiful. So moving forward, the second is criticize another's appearance in front of them with like, With those thighs, you're never going to find a date, which, I mean, what? I'd rather have,
thick,
you know,
thighs my, are in right now.
Yeah, thick thighs in a thigh gap, because that's just unhealthy. And number three, criticize another appearance without their knowledge, someone's appearance without their knowledge. So did you see what she's wearing today? Not flattering. At least you don't look like her. I mean, I just criticized, you know, people who have thigh gaps just a minute ago. My fault. I completely apologize for that. No matter how this manifests, often leads to comparison and shame and perpetrates the idea that people should be judged mainly for their physical features. So all in all, criticizing and, you know, body shame as a whole.
I want to make a big distinction here. Body shaming has to do not only with people who are overweight, but people tend to, you know, criticize people who are underweight as well. And it's definitely not, I guess, not their fault. I mean, to some extent it is, but if you are too thin, quote unquote, some people are built differently. Some people are built like Detroit linebackers and some are built like, you know,
models.
Exactly. You know, they're built like what you see, what you have to Photoshop.
Some people are built like poles. I mean, I've seen it all. So,
but yeah, so I want to make that quick body shaming distinction that it's not just about overweight people. It's also about people.
Skinny shaming.
Yeah.
There we go. So I want to read you about five times people got body shame in 2014. Fat shaming, skinny shaming, food shaming, butt shaming, clothing shaming, you name it. 2014 had it all. First one up, Old Navy charged more for women's plus size clothes. So women's Rockstar super skinny Rockstar jeans size 6 is $34.50. Women's Rockstar super skinny Rockstar jeans size 26 is $44.94. Men's premium skinny jeans, any old size, is $39.94. So when Old Navy customer noticed that women's plus size clothes are priced higher than the non plus sizes, while men's clothes prices never change within a style, irrespective of the style of the size, she started a change.org petition that eventually got 95,000 signatures. The petition demanded that the store and its discriminatory pricing, which Old Navy parent company The Gap defended, saying that the higher prices for women's plus size items are a result of using unique fabrics and design elements, which I think just a load of bull, but whatever. Worth noting here is that other clothing brands like Aeropostale, American Eagle, don't charge differently for plus size and non-plus size. So they just keep their prices all the same altogether. Mm-hmm. And I mean, those clothes are like, I feel like, are more expensive.
Oh, yeah.
So what? That's no excuse. So The Gap has changed the way plus size clothing are priced, but it said it will hold quarterly focus groups to further enhance our plus size collection. Whatever. Your thoughts on the Old Navy? Come on.
I mean, I used to be in that plus size range, so I know the struggle. And I know that, you know, people are like, my brother used to joke with me, like, oh, you know, they have to use more fabric for stuff like you, or like for people like you. But I was like, haha, you're so funny. Not really. But thankfully, now that, you know, I'm not in there, I do see the difference in price, and it sucks. And it's not fair. I mean, it's not like they're choosing to buy you kind of have to be clothed to do anything, and I mean, unless you want to be locked up or something like that. And I mean
the next one, you know, the ESPN magazine, the body issue, they're all like nude in there. I mean, you don't have to be clothed for all that.
Okay, but come on now.
So the people couldn't deal with Prince Fielder's naked body. ESPN, the magazine's annual body issue, is known for showcasing the lean, muscular, chiseled physiques of dozens of athletes in their nude or almost nude. 2014 cover of pro baseball player Prince Fielder featured none of the well-defined abs or visible rippling quads that readers were used to. So Twitter busted out its best material. And by the best material, I mean a torrent of insults from Gibbs about BMI and donuts to straight up disgust. Thankfully, the backlash to the backlash was right on time, bringing it with tweets of respect, admiration, and good old-fashioned lusty desire for Prince Fielder. I mean, I know he's kind of a heavyset guy, you know, pleasantly plump or whatever you want to call him. I mean, I think he's pretty handsome. I thought it was cute. I thought it was nice. I mean,
he's cute in the face.
Everybody doesn't need. I mean, I know women are so used to seeing the chiseled abs and things. I mean, men get body shame as well for not being in shape.
Exactly.
I mean, it does happen to both genders, but, you know, women more than men, so to say. But you should have judged him on that. I thought he looked pretty good.
If he can feel comfortable in his own skin and be put on that magazine, more power to him.
Right? So, I mean, get off my boy like that. Come on now. So, the third one is talk show host didn't like Michelle Obama's weight, but did like her booty, though. As part of a discussion about healthier school lunches, an initiative championed by Michelle Obama on the Fox News show Outnumbered, contributor Dr. Keith Alblow said about the first lady's weight, she needs to drop a few. He followed with, let's be honest, there's no french fries there. That's all kale and carrots. I don't buy it. Co-host Kennedy replied, I like her booty, though. Okay, so you're just going to first, what, criticize her, then compliment her?
Well, that's like one thing to me. What do you think is in that booty? Like, it's not, I mean, it's fat. I mean, it can be muscle, too.
Yeah.
But still, like, I don't know. It's
ridiculous.
I have no comment.
Yeah, so moving on to number four. A tennis official questioned the Williams sisters' gender and called them frightening. During his appearance on a late-night talk show in Russia, Shami Topishev, the president of Russian Tennis Federation, called Venus and Serena Williams the Williams brothers and said it was frightening when you look at them. Topishev was fined $25,000 and suspended from the Women's Tennis Association for a year. Excuse me. Serena Williams called the remark sexist and racist. Wow. I mean, I know, what is it? Was it Serena?
Yes.
Serena that got criticized about being too muscular. She looked manly.
Yes.
Yeah, that was really uncalled for
and
about
she
that
one. Continued to get criticized when her and Drake started having their thing. Mm-hmm. They were like, well, like, Drake's into men and stuff like that. And Serena is a beautiful woman.
Yeah,
she's built, and I mean, don't hate, appreciate.
So I'm only on two stumbles today, guys, so you know I'm doing pretty well today. Doing better than I have been doing, but I feel as if, you know, that was uncalled for. Williams brothers, like, just because they're athletic. I mean, I don't particularly see how the comment was racist. I don't know, is to do because they're African-American. African-Americans are more, tend to be more muscular in a sense.
Maybe she was just, you know, throwing that out there. Just
maybe. So our last one, a high school sophomore was made to wear a shame suit because her skirt violated the school dress code. Miranda Larkin was given a neon yellow shirt and red pants, with which both read dress code violation to wear in place of the offending skirt. Rather than go to class in the shame suit, Larkin went home early, thoroughly documented her experience on social media. So, I mean, I read about this article a little bit, and, you know, from what I got of it, her skirt was in violation.
Mm-mm.
And even the principal said it was in violation. And yeah. She's wore this skirt many of times. And this teacher just felt like it was distracting to boys. And I was like, that's ridiculous.
Now, that's where I have to step in and say that's when you have, like, that's not the girl's problem. That's the boy's problem. If they can't keep their eyes posted where they're supposed to be posted, then that's on them. You can't blame a girl for wearing what she's wearing. I mean, if, you know, she's a hook around the corner, then, like, that's a different thing. But if she's going to school wearing appropriate clothing, then who's to say that, you know, oh, it's not okay because the boys are going to look at her a certain way. You should be able to wear whatever you want to wear. Yeah. But boys are pigs too, so I mean,
yeah, that's true. But I mean, not all boys, but, you know,
I'm going to generalize
75%.
And say most.
But I mean, it happens. But I feel as if women should be able to wear whatever they want to wear. And I mean, you're not going to school for fashion. You go in there to learn. So
exactly.
It just doesn't matter. I mean, as long as you're not wearing, you know, Daisy Dukes and, you know,
fishnets and
yeah, stuff like that. I mean, that's all. Everything else should be good. But I do feel like it's crazy how these people are being body shamed and judged. I just want you all to know that I'm rooting for you. And I know Karina's rooting for you because, you know, she just got deep into that. But this is Keeping It Real so I can feel. It's break time. In the meantime, enjoy this song, Beautiful, by Christina Aguilera.
every day is so wonderful, and suddenly it's hard to breathe. Now and then I get insecure from all the pain. I'm so ashamed.
Here on radio.dominican.edu, I'm DJ Unspoken, talking to you about bullying and body shaming. For our next subtopic, we're going to talk about the effects of bullying. There are many effects of bullying. The victim of bullying and the bully themselves can endure these effects. These are the most common and the signs to be aware of. First up is bulimia. It's a serious psychiatric illness and eating disorder in which the person regularly binge eats and then tries to compensate for that behavior by overexercising and purging by vomiting or using laxatives. Signs of this is they're going to the bathroom after meals, frequently disappearing after meals or takes a trip to the bathroom to throw up, may run the water to disguise the sounds of vomiting, using laxatives or enemas after eating, may also take diet pills to curb appetite or use the sauna to sweat out water weight. Smell of vomit in the bathroom or the person may smell like vomit. They may try to cover it up with the smell of mouthwash, perfume, air freshener, gums, or mint. Excessive exercising, works out strenuously, especially after eating. Typical activities include high-intensity calorie burners such as running or aerobics. Bulimia?
Bulimia is basically, I mean, it's not a good thing. It's not. It's something that affects a majority of, you know, women in America and probably all over the world. And unfortunately, it's something that people have to go through. I have a really close friend of mine who went through stage of bulimia, and it was not good for her at all. And I mean, unfortunately, those, you know, thankfully she's out of it, but sometimes, you know, she still gets those thoughts and, you know, urges, but, you know, she tries her hardest not to, you know, just to keep fighting through.
Yeah, I'm praying for her. Next up is anorexia. It's a lack or loss of appetite for food, such as a medical condition, an emotional disorder characterized by obsessive desire to lose weight by refusing to eat. Signs of anorexia: dieting despite being thin, following a severely restricted diet, eating only certain low-calorie foods, banning bad foods such as carbohydrates and fats, obsessed with calories, fat grams, and nutrition, reading food labels, measuring and weighing portions, keeping a food diary, reading diet books, pretending to eat or lying about eating, hiding, playing with, or throwing away food to avoid eating, making excuses to get out of the meals, I had a huge lunch, or my stomach isn't feeling good. Preoccupation with food, constantly thinking about food, cooking for others, collecting recipes, reading food magazines, or making meals while eating very little. Strange or secretive food rituals, refusing to eat around others or in public places, eating in rigid, rigid ways, cutting food just so, chewing food and spitting it out using a specific plate. Anorexia.
I saw a movie on like my health class, I think my sophomore year of high school, and I knew about it, and I wasn't exact on what, you know, extremities it could go to, but when I saw the video, when I saw how bad it basically affects women, and not only women, but men as well, it's ridiculous. It's a lot of anorexia and bulimia are mental, and it's unfortunately all of this like bad or these negative thoughts in their head is due to, you know, the body shaming and the bullying and stuff like that. So it's unfortunate for anybody, and I pray for anyone going, you know, through that out there, that, you know, you come out of that because you are beautiful.
Yeah, I think both are mentally and physical illness. I mean, it starts all in the mind about, you know, how you look or, you know, how you feel about yourself, and then it could turn to a physical aspect, what can manifest to a physical aspect. So all those who are going through it, who already gone through it, are, you know, on the right track to healthier lifestyle, I'm praying for you. I'm rooting for you. I'm here in your corner. Just keep trying. Don't give up. You know, DJ Spoken's got your back always. So bullying and depression are often related. Depression affects both bullies and their victims. Victims of cyberbullying may be at even higher risk for depression. Researchers have discovered a strong link between bullying and depression. Depression is an illness that is not totally understood and may have a variety of causes, but it's clear that it can have a relationship to bullying. Both bullies and their victims are more likely to suffer from depression than youth who are not involved in bullying. This connection can be long-lasting. People who are bullied as children are more likely to suffer from depression as an adult than children not involved in bullying. So going back to the whole adult thing, while they don't intervene, maybe that's probably why as well.
That could be it.
They were bullied as a child, and, you know, they still suffered it in their later years. So, I mean, I completely understand, but I still feel you should, like, intervene because you went through it. You don't want to see a child go through that.
Exactly.
It's very hard. So signs of depression. Feelings of helplessness and hopelessness, a bleak outlook, nothing will ever get better, and there's nothing you can do to improve your situation. Loss of interest in daily activities, no interest in former hobbies, pastimes, social activity, or sex. Okay. You lost your ability to feel joy and pleasure. Appetite or weight changes, significant weight loss or weight gains, a change in more than 5% of the body weight in a month. Sleep changes, either insomnia, especially waking in the early hours of the morning, or oversleeping, also known as hypersomnia. Anger or irritability, feeling agitated, restless, or even violent. Your tolerance level is low, your temper short, and everything and everyone gets on your nerves. I mean, I'm like that every day, so I don't think I'm suffering from depression. I just think people are just idiots. But moving forward, back to the serious topic. There is a strong link between bullying and suicide, which with all three of these factors, these can, you know, contribute to thoughts of suicide, which I feel is like, you know, I'm not here to degrade anybody who, you know, who has these thoughts, but there are hotlines, there are people who are here for you, there are people who love you, and people say, oh, the people are selfish because they're leaving their family behind and, you know, yada, yada, yada. But all in all, I feel as if, I mean, they're going through something and they don't feel like they can talk to you guys, you know, to family members or friends, because you wouldn't understand, you haven't experienced what they have been experiencing, you know? So, you know, as I said, there's a strong link between bullying and suicide, as suggested by recent bullying-related suicides in the U.S. and other countries. Parents teaching students learn the dangers of bullying and help students who may be at risk of committing suicide. The statistics on bullying and suicide are alarming. Suicide is the third leading cause of death among young people, resulting in about 4,400 deaths per year, according to the CDC. For every suicide among young people, there are at least 100 suicide attempts. Over 14% of high school students have considered suicide, and almost 7% have attempted it. Bullying victims are 2 to 9 times more likely to consider suicide than non-victims, according to the study by Yale University. A study in Britain found that at least half of the suicides among young people are related to bullying. 10 to 14-year-old girls may be at even higher risk of suicide, according to the study above. According to a statistic reported by ABC News, nearly 30% of students are either bullied or victims of bullying, and 160,000 kids stay at home from school every day because of fear of bullying. Bullying-related suicides can be connected to any type of bullying, including physical bullying, emotional bullying, cyberbullying, and sexting or circulating suggestive or nude photos or messages about a person. So your thoughts on these effects and, you know, suicide?
Suicide itself, I've unfortunately have had quite a few people pass from suicide, and I have to agree with you in terms of, you know, they're going through something and I understand that they don't feel like they can talk to one or no one understands, but I don't feel as if taking your life is the best option. You know, all things will pass eventually, and I feel that everything, you know, every you can get through anything, and I just feel like there are hard times. There are times when you feel like, damn, I don't want to do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And there's times when you feel like you have nobody, and even if you're in a room full of people. So unfortunately, you know, people feel like that, but I feel like you should definitely think twice about what you're going to do about it.
Yeah. I mean, I've personally haven't had anybody commit suicide from bullying or just, I mean, I think I have one, but he was married into the family, and I think he just, like, was just tired of it all, and, you know, he committed suicide. But all in all, I really haven't had anybody who was super-duper close to me commit suicide or had thoughts. I mean, I had people in my family who suffer from depression. I myself have been bullied one time, and after then, I became a bully myself. I'm not going to lie about it. Oh, I know. I don't bully you. Stop that. But, I mean, it was, like, in grade school, and this, you know, pleasantly plump girl came and knocked my glasses off and stepped on them. And then after that day, I never lost a fight. Promise. I'll probably won a fight.
My older brother was bullied in grade school, by a girl. But she was like, cute. She was like,
extremely what? Good.
She was tall. She was like built like a legitimate Detroit Lambrecker. Like, yeah, basically. She had a mustache.
Wow. Okay.
But hey, if that's what she wanted, no shame to her.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. I mean, bullying does happen, but thoughts of suicide I would never want that to come to anybody's mind. I mean, get help when you can. It's hotlines are out there. There's groups, there's counseling. There's a lot of things out there before you get to that final step of trying to attempt it. At least go talk to somebody. If you can't talk to anybody, your family or friends, get help somewhere else. Teachers, you know, counselors, any of that nature. Find a trusted adult that you can go talk to, because, you know, I'd rather the world go on with you than without you.
And for those of you here on campus, we have a great, I think it's like the counseling services. So if you need to, please feel free. And they're amazing. So go ahead and talk to them.
So, yeah, that's personal thoughts on that. We're going to head into a break, and when we come back, we'll be discussing awareness and action. The real words of the day and quick wrap-up. This is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, so stay tuned.
Hello and welcome back, listeners, coming at you with another Bosco break and your update of Dominican volleyball. Dominican University of California junior libero Amanda Lee recorded 33 digs and moved into the lead in the Pac West in digs per set on Wednesday, 4-set conference loss at Notre Dame de Namur. Lee's match best 33 digs give her 5.88 digs per set, which passed Concordia Irvine's Taylor Dennison, who is averaging 5.8 digs per set. Lee now has 423 digs on the season, which is already a Dominican single season record in the Division II era. Earlier in the season, she also broke the career dig mark set by Hannah Stocking. Lee currently has 1,051 and counting. The Dominican women's volleyball team received a double-double effort from sophomore Shannon Riggio-Curley, but it wasn't enough in a 4-set loss to Chaminade on Monday night, November 2nd. Kate Even, Brittany Lateague, and Riggio-Curley all finished their night with 10 kills apiece. Madeline Paulson also added 10 digs, while junior libero Amanda Lee recorded 20 and maintained her lead in digs per set in the Pac West at 5.83 a set. The Penguins were without their top hitter Amy Steinward for a second time since the sophomore suffered a concussion on October 24th versus Dixie State. Although these Lady Penguins fell in their last three matches, they will look to succeed on its continued six-match homestand on Wednesday, November 4th, when BYU Hawaii comes calling. The Penguins were swept in the two teams' first meeting back on September 25th in Hawaii. First serve is slated for 7 p.m. in the Conlin Center. Live stats and video will be available at DominicanAthletics.com/live with live audio provided by radio.dominican.edu. Make sure to tune in and support your Mighty Penguins. Now that wraps up your Bosco break. Thanks for listening.
We are back on Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I'm DJ Spoken here on my radio show, Keeping It Real, Talk You Can Feel. We have discussed so far bullying, cyberbullying, body shaming, and the effects of bullying and body shaming. Our last segment, awareness and action. One way to accomplish bullying prevention is through educating ourselves, our community, and the youth in our life. By doing this, we can be prepared and ready to take action if bullying ever occurs in our presence. So your takes on awareness action that could happen so we can bullying prevention can start. I mean, I don't know what I'm saying right now.
I definitely think that we have to take a stance and, you know, don't be a bystander. I think that's the worst possible thing you can do. When you see something, even if you might be, you know, afraid of what the bully might do to you or whatever it may be, I feel like you need to stand up and speak out, because for all you know, you're saving that kid, you know, those couple of, you know, days of depression or, you know, those bruises or whatever it is, you know. So, and you can probably get the bully to stop bullying anyone else from there on out. So,
yeah. Another one is to be more than a bystander, speaking up and speaking out against bullying. As I stated with the new campaign, I'm a Witness, and many more, it gives people the confidence to open up about bullying. And also with the new emoji, the eye and the speech bubble, which is can be used online to show that you're supporting the victim of bullying. Mm-hmm. But also don't just push a button and, you know, post an image online. I mean, try to intervene, try to get help. Don't just sit there and watch it happen.
Yeah.
Your takes on bystanders? Be more than a bystander.
I mean, you should definitely be more than a bystander. You should, you know, talk about it. If you see something, and if you, there's one thing to see it and handle the situation there, but you should also go beyond that and, you know, start groups or, you know, talk to your friends about it. Post something online where, you know, about your experience and stuff like that. Post the emoji and, you know, tell people if they have any issues that you are, you know, you can be their safe place. They can come talk to you. And if you need that, you know, if you're willing to do that.
I mean, look, if you bully anybody in my family or friends of my family, you better run and duck for cover. I'm not with that at all, especially like, I know I have a new family friend. Her name's Cheryl Smith. I think they're from Louisiana, and they have a daughter named Bailey. And if anybody does anything to her, I know for sure that I'd be the first one to step up and be slapping people left and right, because I don't approve of bullying at all, even though I once was a bully. But I mean, I was just going through a lot as a child. So, I mean, I had to grow up pretty much.
I have a pretty young cousin, well, younger than I am. He just started high school, and I found out about 2 years ago that he was being bullied. He is also autistic, so he's, you know, has that disability, and I've never wanted to hit a little kid that bad. Like, I wanted to be the bully at that point, because I was like, wow, like, you know, when it's someone in your family, I think we take it more personally.
Yeah.
But it showed me that, you know, stuff like this actually does happen, and it's mm-hmm. opened my eyes incredibly, and it's crazy. So yeah, stand up, speak out, and be more than a bystander.
I mean, I remember one time in, you know, middle school, my brother got jumped, and I didn't know about it because it was in the boys' locker room. I mean, yeah, he's like, what, 6'5", 275 or something like that, pure muscle. Now he can, like, take care of himself. But at that point in time, I was like, nobody puts their hands on my brother except me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm the one that gets to hit him, yeah. Not you. But I got really mad, and I think everything that's going on in my life, I just became a bully therefore after, because you don't put your hands on my brother, and then whatever I was going through as a kid. But, yeah. I just feel like be more than a bystander and educate yourself so you can be better prepared and put bullying to end. So it's that time again to real words of the day. Real words of the day. I'm just kidding. This morning, let go of everything you didn't do right, the negative things people have said, and focus on all you are becoming. Great words of wisdom, as I feel like great words of wisdom. And as always, kind is the new cute. Your thoughts on the quote right there?
Definitely something that everyone should live by on a daily basis. Forget what people say, you know, that's the last thing. Always continue to be happy. You have, why spend your time not being happy when that time you could spend being happy.
You know, there's a quote there. It's like the 6 seconds you're being mad, that's 1 minute that you're not happy. Something like that. Like 6 seconds you spend being mad, that's 1 minute you're just not spending being happy.
60 seconds.
Yeah, 60 seconds that you spend.
Six. I'm like, no, that's 60 add up.
Seconds that you are being mad about something, that's 1 minute that you're not being happy.
Exactly.
I think that's a great quote, too. I should have used that for next week, but oh well. But as I said, great words of wisdom, and always, kind is the new cute. However, bullying is a serious issue, and we as a society should take a stance on this problem and help prevent and put an end to it. As always, I'm DJ Unspoken, and my co-DJ, Karina, on my show, Keeping It Real, Talking to Phil. Thanks for tuning in. Hope to see you back next week. As always, stay real.
Made a wrong turn once or twice. Dug my way out, blood and fire. Bad decisions, that's alright. Welcome to my silly life. Mistreated, displaced, misunderstood. Misknowing it's all good, it didn't slow me down. Mistaken, always second guessing. Underestimated, look, I'm still around. Pretty, pretty, please, don't you ever, ever feel like you're less than perfect. Pretty, pretty, please, if you ever, ever feel like you're nothing, you are perfect to me. You're so try, but we try too hard, and it's a waste of my time. Done looking for the critics, cause they're everywhere. They don't like my jeans, they don't get my hair. Exchange ourselves, and we do it all the time. Why do we do that? Why do I do that? Why do I do that? Yeah!